Hello, everyone, and welcome to this TELET webinar, How COVID-19 is Changing IoT-Connected Healthcare. I'm Amanda Slink, Head of Global Events here at TELET, and I will be moderating today's event. Before we start, we'd like to understand what stage of development your IoT-connected healthcare device or service is at. So please, if you could take a second to fill out our poll question, which you should see on your screen now. Now let's get to know the speakers. To explain this topic today, I am pleased to be joined by three speakers. First, we have Jeff Clameau, VP Strategic and Channel Sales for North America at TELET. Second, we have Scott Ellis, VP of Connectivity Sales at TELET. And third, we have Francesco Cannon, Chief Technology Officer at Alpha Pharma. Just before I hand it over to Jeff to start the presentation, I have a few quick reminders for our audience. I would like to encourage you to interact by posting questions. We will have time to answer some of those at the end of the presentation. Simply submit a question by posting in the box to the right of the slides. Also, be sure to check out the resources section in the upper right-hand corner of your screen for additional information. Finally, we will send out the presentation slides and a replay link to all attendees at the conclusion of the webinar. And with that, Jeff, I'll hand it to you.
Thank you, Amanda, and good day to everyone. So the goal for today really is to talk about, you know, how COVID-19 is changing IoT connectivity in healthcare. I thought I'd start first with, you know, in general, IoT, which we're talking, you know, the Internet of Things, has been a growing trend in healthcare for many years. It's not something necessarily new, but we have definitely seen through our customer base and in general conversations, a increase in different opportunities from a solution standpoint due to COVID-19, everything from your asset tracking of key medical supplies, testing equipment, things like that. And so today's goal is just to really give you a high level overview of the different RF technologies that can be leveraged in an IoT solution and how that can be translated into supporting your existing base, but also linking into how pandemics like COVID-19 or other major illnesses can be maybe addressed as a value add or a component of what you're trying to offer. So on the first slide, I'm just going to kind of high level start talking about some of the things that you want to consider as a part of any design that's going to include RF. And the very first thing is always define your solution use case, whether it be existing or something new, and always know what the problem is that you're trying to solve and think through how best to do that. It seems pretty basic, but I'm amazed many times as our conversations will start with the technology and not with the actual solution and use case. So it's always better to have a solution that's defined, how it's going to go to market, and those type of questions answered before you start evaluating the technology. So, you know, the different types of RF are out there are considerable, and they all have their place in a design. In some cases, you may actually have some combinations. So you always want to know how much data that you're going to try to be sending if you're going to do any kind of RF solution, because it directly impacts the type of technology. It also impacts your power consumption, which directly relates to what kind of source of power, whether it be battery, solar, or wired. So it's very important to fully understand what kind of throughput requirements you're going to have, what your application latency requirements are, and also how much you're going to be using then on an aggregate basis, because that directly ties into the cost model that I know Scott will go over later. So then what is your actual opportunities from an RF perspective? Now, are you going to be in, is your solution primarily going to be commercial, industrial in the sense that it's going to be always in a metropolitan area, or are you going to have something that's going to be much more rural or a combination of the two areas? And are you going to have something that's a static location, or is it something that's going to be mobile? And is it something that's going to be accessed very easily from a close proximity, or is it something that's going to have a wide range of different deployments? And then also just, you know, is this going to be a private or a public access and how it's going to tie back into the overall application layer. And then the last thing to consider in your design efforts is your technology cost. A lot of people get hung up on the actual component cost in a BOM, but they forget the total cost of ownership. And there's distinctive differences between cellular and short-range technologies, and that's basically what I'm going to focus on here. So there's operating costs, and there's manufacturing costs, there's certification costs, and there's development costs. And as you pick your supplier to help you with this, it's always important that they provide you guidance and be more than just focusing on selling your product. It's important to have these conversations at a deep level so that you don't get too far into your design and find it was a bad business connection from a standpoint of what your use case is and what you're trying to solve. So as we talked about the need to have mobility, which is typically going to be a battery life issue. It could also be portability, and the difference being mobility is typically outside the four walls where you're moving around, and portability is something that's inside the four walls. And there are obviously abilities to do in this new world of RF combination type of solutions, or what we call hybrid, where you may have a gateway that is your backhaul, and you have multiple endpoints that can be handled with maybe Wi-Fi or some short-range technology. And there's obviously defining your partnership in an ecosystem around what you're trying to do, because there's no one entity that typically can do all the components or pieces of a end-to-end solution. So it's always important to identify who those partners are. And, you know, typically all of us that are in this business have an ecosystem that we work with. Many are common across different platforms, and it's pretty easy to deal with. So moving on, the differences in RF really come down to two major factors, and that's bandwidth and how it impacts the technology and power consumption versus distance. So it goes back to what I was saying earlier about mobility, portability, versus bandwidth and power consumption. So I've kind of laid out here your short range on the left, and then your low power wide area network from a cellular perspective, and then a low power wide area from a some of the newer technologies out there, which you may have heard of, LoRa and Sigfox. And then obviously satellite is still an option and sits out there in the far right. And it's kind of an in-between the cellular and short range, in that there are obviously limitations with throughput for satellite, but there's always a lot of advantage from a standpoint of mobility, especially in very remote areas where you may not have backhaul or capabilities from a commercial standpoint. So this next slide kind of talks about short range in general, and most everybody has seen this kind of information before, but I just wanted to highlight it really quick that, you know, if you've got a lot of bandwidth requirements in a short range environment, Wi-Fi typically is your choice. There is Wi-Fi with ultra-low power, but sometimes you give up some of the things that you have in a pure Wi-Fi environment. Then you have Bluetooth, which is becoming more and more of a standard used across applications for short distance, small amounts of data. Zigbee, been around for a long time, and there's other variants like Z-Wave and other things that are out there, primarily in the home automation space. But as we see verticals cross-pollinate, whether it be home automation and healthcare, where you may have a gateway that enables connectivity to a healthcare device, some of these other RF technologies can come into play. And then ultimately, Bluetooth, which is low energy BLE, has really become a big player in the marketplace, and we continue to see that grow and grow and grow. So just from a terminology standpoint, I already kind of referenced this, but in the low power wide area network, there's really two sides to the equation. There's the cellular, which is Cat-M, Cat-NB-IoT, and there are some significant differences between the two. And then LoRa, Sigfox, and other low-power wide area providers out there like Ingenue. So the key here is that there is no one better than the other type of solution when it comes to low-power wide area networks. They actually are just very different, and they serve different needs and purposes. So when you look at location, coverage, security, quality of service, scalability, asset value, and data frequency, This is really kind of just to show you that there is a difference. So in the Sigfox, LoRa type of environments, you tend to see more concentrated, remote, private network type of environments where cellular is global and pretty much across the board, wherever the cellular carriers are. We typically look at cellular as having a better security model today. A lot of that has to do with your solution. So if you are in healthcare, obviously security and privacy are always a big deal. A lot of folks see the cost of LoRa and Sigfox as maybe cheaper, but you still have to have a network. So someone still has to make the investment. It's no different than Wi-Fi or any of the other technologies out there where it always feels free, but somebody's carrying the burden of the cost of building out the network. So why cellular over some of these other technologies? Obviously, the cellular technology with Cat-M and NB-IoT has come a really long ways in improving battery life, where we can now get 8 to 10 years. Component costs have come down dramatically over the last 5 to 6 years. And now you're looking at sub $10 modules for NB-IoT and Cat-M in quantity. So it's definitely become something that's much more feasible from a standpoint of making it a part of your design. And the scalability of cellular right now is far superior to any of your low power wide area technology, simply because the carrier networks already exist and they're already expanding them. Versus short range, many times, like with BLE, you don't need a network, but with Wi-Fi, you need some kind of access point, some kind of deployment. So a lot of it is you're thinking through your use cases. How is this going to factor into my decision on the solution? For instance, we see a lot of verticals where they look at leveraging the consumer Wi-Fi infrastructure, but then switch to cellular later because they realize they lose control. Whenever you have multiple layers of control of the infrastructure layers, and in this case, the consumer who either switches out a router and forgets about your solution, or something changes on the internet and they don't understand it, you lose a lot of connections, and it becomes a technical support issue for you to consider when you're looking at the total cost of ownership. Where cellular, many times, while it's got some other issues to consider, can be an easier solution for deployment and management. And then on this next slide, really just shows you that where you're in North America, Europe, lots of Asia, big chunks of South America, cellular coverage is really grown dramatically. And this is really to show you where Cat-M and NB-IoT deployments are taking place. There are countries like the U.S. that are doing both. So there is really, from a standpoint of coverage, a growing capability of supporting those technologies if you're looking for that kind of solution. And then, security always key, especially in healthcare. This is something that you can't underestimate. The good thing about the cellular industry is we have the 3GPP standards group, who release new standards every year. And cellular modules being provisioned with a unique identity injected at the manufacturing means that, we can identify a module. And this is obviously something carriers have really been focused on for decades. And so the ability to clone or cheat the system, so to speak, is very difficult. And there's a lot of other layers of security built around cellular that may or may not exist in some of your other RF without a lot of extra effort. So this is kind of more built into the end-to-end cellular capabilities. And we can obviously have a call to talk about that offline if anybody has interest. The other big cellular challenge to consider is when you're looking at the cost of the components. So there's really a scale of project complexity versus time to market. So there's a lot of OEMs out there that do off-the-shelf box solutions that could be either white-labeled or we call them ODMs that will be able to build you something to your specs. And there's, if it's off-the-shelf, it's obviously ready to go, been through all the certifications, and you can get things out the door quickly. So for a proof of concept, not a bad way to go. Socket modem designs are really where in the cellular world, you have a cellular module on a daughter card that can be inserted into your box. It's already certified by the carriers, and it gives you the ability to get out the door with your design very quickly. Only downside of SoCA modems is there's also like an expense curve here. So if you see the lower left off the shelf tends to be the most expensive. Socket modems will be less expensive because they don't have any housing. They're just a board. Then you get to the module level. And in the module level, you're looking at where you'll have to do your own design, solder the module down on the board, or use a data card that'll go into a mini PCIe or M.2 form factor. And again, incrementally, it's less expensive, but it requires more upfront development, and you have to have your end device go through certification. Chipset design is where you're working with the silicon providers like Qualcomm directly. Pretty much a major hurdle to get over, in the sense that you're looking at anywhere from 1 to 2 years of design cycle, and you're looking at millions of dollars in investment on the development side. So we like to say that chipset design is usually oriented around millions of units, like handset providers. Module design in that, you know, thousands up to hundreds of thousands. Socket modem in your hundreds to thousands level, and then off the shelf, depending. You know, we do have a lot of customers that do off the shelf box solutions in large quantity, but typically it's because they lack engineering and technical ability to do it, and it gets them to the market. Sorry about that. So finishing up here real quick, the impact of your design really has a lot to do with the total time to market. And if you're going to do it in a phased approach, you can potentially do one of those early steps like a box product or a socket modem, prove out your solution, and then come back and do a module design later. And then also there's the whole issue of power, right? So you want to factor in, again, what kind of power requirements you're going to have in your ability to support that. And then the hybrid approach I was talking about earlier, you know, you have the ability to mix and match RF. Now, while it may bring more complexity to your design, and it can maybe take your time to market and extend it out, because whenever you co-locate RF technologies, it becomes a lot more complicated, and getting through certifications on the RF side from a carrier perspective can be complex. But it also can give you major advantage if you're looking at doing a one-to-many type of solution where you may have multiple endpoints that you're trying to monitor. So let's say you have a gateway with several in-home healthcare capabilities to monitor anything from glucose to weight to heart monitors, things like that, they could always come back to a single gateway. And sometimes that can give you a good mix of the RF technologies to meet the specific use cases, but also lower your total cost of ownership. So those are always things to consider. So at a high level, you know, there's a lot to look at when you're trying to put together your solution and consider your RF options. Cellular has some technical hurdles from a design and certification perspective that tend to make it a little more difficult, but it also has a lot of advantages when it comes to security and controlling your solution and the data flow and making sure that everything is easy for the end user. And so a mix and match may be needed, and those are all things you want to really think through as you're going through with your design. And in the case of cellular, you also have to have connectivity. So I'm going to hand the slides off to Scott, who can talk to you about the connectivity side of cellular. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff, and good day, everyone. Thanks for joining us. Just a quick reminder, we do have a questions entry box over to the right of the screen. So if you've got questions as we go, please drop them in there. So things to consider when you're building or designing cellular into your solution. Just a note that, as you can tell, it can be quite complex based on Jeff's overview and what we'll cover here with me. But so the earlier that you can engage your potential partners on answering some of these questions, the better off you'll be, the faster you'll get to market, and the less changes that you'll have to make as you go. So when you're considering cellular, key questions to ask, and that'll lead to the rest of my slides. What region will you deploy the device in? The reason why it's important is, as Jeff previously covered, technology availability varies by region of the world, country, etc. And understanding what's out there before you make a decision is extremely important. But then also, based on the technology that you think you might want to use, what certifications are required for your product? How is roaming going to be affecting what technology you approve? What support services are going to be needed for that technology? And then to the point of cellular now, what category of service is required to support your application? And when we talk about that topic, we ask things like, you know, is the device going to be fixed in one location or is it going to be mobile? Different categories of cellular technology have different limitations. Narrowband, for example, isn't good at roaming from one place to another just yet. It's being developed, but it's still early. So that's important to know. How much data will the device consume? You know, if you're expecting to consume gigabytes of data, narrowband or Cat M1 is not going to be the right choice for you. You're going to need a higher category product. So knowing what your data profile looks like is very important. Will there be other devices in the area that are connected to the same nodes? You know, the limitations of cellular aren't too great, but if you've got, you know, multiple high bandwidth devices in a single location doing large data streams, it can affect performance on a particular cell site, et cetera. So having a good understanding there is an important design consideration. And then location services, right? Do I need to know where it is, where my device is in order to support my application? Is it a nice to know? Is it necessary for the application that I'm trying to support? These are all, you know, important things to consider as you're making a selection on technology, even within the cellular category. So moving on, as I discussed a minute ago, you know, global and regional coverage, do I need it to be able to roam around or just stay in one place means usually what kind of cost am I looking at on connectivity? Global coverage is available, but it's not always the most cost-effective option. Will I need more than one carrier to support my deployment? If I'm going to deploy in multiple countries, my first choice of carrier may not be the only one I need. So can my partner support multiple carriers in a single portal? Do I have simple terms? Do I have simple pricing? This all goes to how easy is it to scale my deployment? How will I be able to manage my devices from a connectivity perspective once they're in the field? Do I need, you know, different data plans or different consumption profiles for my devices? Do some of my devices consume, you know, vast amounts of data while others consume only a little bit? And how do I handle the management of the subscriptions between those two? And then lastly, support. So most of these things are online 24/7. And so you're going to want support capabilities to match the availability of your product data. So then, not only looking at it from an application side, but from an administrator side, as I'm considering all these things, Jeff mentioned security as being extremely important in the healthcare industry. It's important to know that, you know, different technologies support different levels of security. The older cellular standards aren't quite as secure as some of the newer stuff, don't have the same levels of device management and connectivity management capability with lightweight M2M, for example. So again, understanding exactly what your needs are and correlating those to your choice in technology when you're looking at cellular or any other radio frequency technology for your deployment are extremely important. Most providers these days, or I shouldn't say most, but a lot of providers these days are offering the option to choose more than one operator in a portfolio. And here at Telit, we do the same. So depending on the region of deployment and the data throughput needs and security needs, there are multiple options available from a carrier perspective. And it's not a one-size-fits-all solution, as we previously discussed. All those other questions that we asked lead us to a narrower and narrower selection criteria so that you can make the best choice for your particular application. These do create more flexibility, but they also create some more complexity in the management of your deployment. So, back to diving into some of the key pillars of those selections, 24/7 support, connectivity management, you know, that single portal. If I do deploy more than one carrier option across the world, do I have a single point of interface to manage? Do I have a single API integration? Not only do I need a user interface so that my support team can go in and diagnose a particular device, but I also may want to build automated connectivity between my systems in, and that requires API integration, which is extremely important. Automation and control, oftentimes when we're talking about these deployments, it's not, you know, tens or hundreds of devices, it's thousands, tens of thousands, maybe even millions of devices. So building in some automation on not only provisioning, but the management and control of the lifetime of those devices is very important. Updating firmware over the air, rolling out new features, these kinds of things, you know, on the small scale are manageable by people, but on a large scale need a lot of system automation. There's checks and balances built in so that if there's a failure, you don't lose coverage or connectivity to your particular device. Network security is another one that we mentioned earlier. And this comes with multiple options, APNs, VPNs. Carrier-grade encryption is always included on cellular, but some carriers like Telit offer private static IP blocks so that you can further that security and say, you know, I'm only going to allow my device to connect to a specific IP address. Everything else gets blocked. This adds tremendous levels of security. And then future, right? Like, these deployments don't last for weeks or months, they're years, and often, you know, multiple years in the field. So how do I manage that deployment long term? What does, you know, 2 years from now, what does my technology look like as it compared to today? Am I working with a partner that's, you know, developing to those new standards and keeping up with the evolution of my network providers? It's all very important to consider when you're looking at cellular as a transport mechanism for your particular solution. So an example of portal access, this is what ours looks like, but you know, just understanding what's available to you through your partner of choice in managing your deployment on a global scale or a regional scale even, is critical, right? Because if you can't see what's going on with your devices that are out in the field, you don't know how to support them. So having information available to you on a proactive basis to report in that, you know, devices aren't behaving as expected or are behaving as expected is very important to staying in front of any kind of customer issues that occur because of roaming or connectivity type challenges. Edge intelligence, also kind of a new buzz here, building in some of this intelligence on the device side. So rather than transmitting all of my data and trying to do diagnosis in the cloud, we're now to the point where we can set up and monitor how service is working at the edge. So the device can self-monitor, if you will, and report back any challenges. Quality of service, usage optimization, and reconnection policies are extremely important considerations when working on your design, because if I lose connectivity on my device, how does the device handle reconnecting, and does it store and forward, or is the data that I captured while I wasn't connected lost? Lightweight M2M is enabling a new level of support and automation that's in use today. So another important element to consider if you're looking at new technology. And then I already mentioned APIs, but also, you know, are you working with a partner that makes it easy to evolve your application based on the current cellular standards so that you can stay ahead of the curve and keep up with the technology changes? Jeff mentioned earlier also security, and so just focusing there for a moment, there's really three places where security comes into play. There's device level, transport level, and then platform level. On the device itself, you know, cellular comes with some inherent security elements. There's encryption on the network already, but Jeff mentioned, you know, the ability to register a device identification number, that IMEI, in the platform so that you know if it's being tampered with, prevents cloning, but also if someone, you know, you used an insertable SIM card and someone took that SIM card out of your device and put it into something else to try and access data on your connection, you can get reports immediately of that activity. In the transport layer, there's a lot of control in the cloud and secure elements that can be enabled between most providers and your preferred platform partners. And so ensuring that that's in place and it gives you the ability to control it is something that you really want to consider and make sure that's available to you. And then on the platform side, sharing that data amongst your ecosystem partners, particularly in the healthcare space, can be critical. In most cases, you're passing that data from your application platform onto other enterprise partners, and you're connecting those services through any number of cloud providers like Amazon, Oracle, SAP, et cetera, that we see here. And so, you know, working with someone that has this kind of pre-configured but good understanding of how all these interact with one another is extremely important and something to consider as you're making a decision. So, in summary, IoT, powering smart healthcare. Cellular has come a long way in the past 10 years in this space. We're spanning the gamut kind of whether it's business to business or business to consumer type applications. I think cellular is an applicable protocol for almost any application, but you know, it's not 100%. There's certain sectors where it doesn't make sense if coverage isn't available, throughput's too high, et cetera. But for the most part, it's a viable option really across the board for healthcare initiatives around the world. So hopefully that's been helpful. And with that, I will hand it over to Francesco to talk to you about his application.
Yes, good day everybody. Let me give you some words about our company. Alpha Pharma Service is a company that is providing technology and systems for telehealth, in particular for chronic disease and diabetics. Just words for giving you an idea. Our system, only in Italy, at least 200,000 persons are using our cellular telehealth application systems. And of course, we are moving to outside Italy. We regularly do, of course, in this field, it's necessary constantly do research and development action for innovating our system. I need to give you just in few words an idea about our application so you can understand easily that before moving toward the design we need to answer to all the topics discussed so far, and also thanks to Telit we find a solution for all them. In the world nowadays there are a lot of persons with diabetes. There are almost 250 million. And also the prevalence of this disease is constantly growing. It means that almost 4 million deaths per year at a lot of billion of euro or dollars, if you prefer, in health cost, in healthcare cost. This means diabetes is a chronic disease that requires innovation system, and the Internet of Things platform can help in this field. Before to move to the technical side part of my presentation, what the patient needs. They need to adhere to the right therapy. This is so-called precision medicine because a therapy depends on each person. And it's very important for them to understand the actual level of glycemic compensation daily. It's very useful for diabetics to know in advance a potential complication. It is the so-called predictive medicine. It's very important for each diabetic to take the right decision every day about food, drugs, and physical activity. This is a very important key point. Often this is not really placed at the center of the therapy. Indeed, normally patients do only few medical visits per year, two or three, it depends on the country, and this is not sufficient. Actually, the patients need to help every day, always, all the to reach this aim. What the best tool for this is the telehealth system, effective telehealth system. One of the tools that the doctor used to improve the therapy, to improve the management of this disease is the so-called self-monitoring blood glucose. Of course, any telehealth service starts with the readings. The point is that if you don't use this reading, these readings are not useful. And these readings gain value only if there is an IT platform that can use this, those readings in real time, and then can give the right suggestion in that moment to the patient. It's necessary to reach this goal, a simple and effective bidirectional channel between patients and IT platform. Consider that normally a diabetic person is also an older person, that he is not so confident with the technology. Also for this reason, in this field, at least standard system based only on Bluetooth low energy are not suitable for helping the patient, and then this self-monitoring body glucose is not effective. Okay. Why we decide to use the cellular connectivity? Because this is the only, from our point of view, the only technology suitable for meeting the needs of the diabetics. We have named our solution, it's a patent pending cellular telehealth system, Iris HealthCare. We have, of course, designed also in cooperation with the TELIT, our own glucometer. The name is Iris Hybrid. This device integrates continuous glycemic monitoring with artificial intelligence and the so-called personalized health care to support the patients and providers in treatment effort. This device, as I told you before, creates a continual link between the patient and the providers. This allows that our platform algorithm predict problem and communicate this prediction to the patient so they can take in time the right action to improve the management of their disease. There are several advantages in this choice of cellular connectivity. The main are those shown in this slide. Of course, one basic advantage is that our user needs to use a single device, the glucometer, to do the readings and also to give the suggestion. But other clear benefit for cellular telehealth are the coverage. Of course, all these topics have been already discussed so far, but let me highlight that this is very useful for our application. And from my point of view, what I'm telling about diabetes is suitable for other chronic disease. Also, the versatility is a very key point for our application, and then the ability to collect and aggregate better quality data for providers. It's very useful. Consider that we needed to connect the device of people moving around the world. Of course, you are a user of our system and you are moving in general around the world, and we couldn't ask patients to take an extra step of linking the device to a smartphone or to find a Wi-Fi network. This doesn't work for in this field at least. And the cellular allows clients and patients to use our device everywhere. This is very important without needing to take any additional action to connect. Okay, when we choose to tell it as partner, we did this choice for several reasons. These are only the main ones. For safety, for performance, of course, the performance of the cellular models, you can easily understand that in healthcare service is a key point. Also, qualified design review service. Let me tell you that it's very important if you are a system integrator that you can then you can develop your design in cooperation with the design review service qualified as a fairly test, because it's even if you have in your team RF designer, believe me that it's very, very useful and helpful for time to market to reach the certification, the help that Telit gave to our design. It also was a good option for us, the SimWise technology, and also the advanced connectivity service with broader coverage and the ability to switch between additional carrier when the device travel from place to place. When the patient do the readings wants to receive the suggestion, if you use a single provider, sometimes your device could not connect to the network. This is not a good experience for a patient waiting for a suggestion about his disease. You can easily understand that it's very, very useful to this versatility to enable everywhere to connect to some provider. To be honest, as you I told you, we started with this project in cooperation with Telit almost 5 years ago. Then we started to develop IT connected healthcare many years before COVID-19. But it's quite evident to everybody that this pandemic is highlighting the benefit of the telehealth system, and then somehow is pushing the adoption of telehealth system by national health service. This is a positive point linked to the pandemic. And Alpha Pharma is considering, is designing actually an hybrid cellular and Bluetooth model for future product. I told you at the beginning of this presentation that the diabetes is a chronic disease that is correlated with other diseases. It's very useful for us to manage also cardiovascular disease and other chronic disease related to diabetes.
Yeah, thank you so much, Jeff, Scott, and Francesco. That was some great information there. Before we get to the questions, I am going to drop one last poll for our audience. If you'd like to have one of our experts contact you, please respond here on the poll that you see on your screen, and someone will reach out to you. We do have time for a few questions now, and there is still time to ask a question, so please feel free to submit using the box to the right of the slide presentation, and we will do our best to cover it here in the time that we've got left. We've gotten quite a few questions so far, so let's just dive right in. First question, why would you pick Cat M1 versus Cat 1 or Cat MB IoT for a healthcare application?
I can address that, Amanda. This is Jeff. So the big difference between NB-IoT and Cat-M is the throughput on the uplink side. So if you have an endpoint in healthcare that is going to have very small amounts of data and be limited and primarily focused on the uplink, then that would be a good solution because it'll give you the best cost from a standpoint of the module expense. Cat-M has much more downlink support, so if you have data that you're pushing out to the end device as well as uplink that you're collecting, then the Cat-M would be a better selection. And there is a price delta between the two on the component side, but from a standpoint of your data throughput, there is the primary difference.
Great, thanks. Next question we have here, can I have one SIM to cover the globe?
So I'll take that one, Amanda, this is Scott. And the answer is a simple yes, you can have one SIM to cover the globe. But the secondary question to that is, at what cost, right? And the things to consider when making that selection are, as we said earlier, how much data am I going to need? How much speed do I need? How much roaming, or you know, what locations around the world are going to be needed? Where my where will my thing go? I guess around the world is what I'm trying to say. And those all play into that technology decision. So, you know, one SIM to go all around the world, while possible, may not be the prudent choice. And there are several factors that come into play when you're making that decision. So even though the answer is yes, it comes with some strong caveats that, you know, there are other things to consider beyond just will it work.
Thanks, Scott. Next question, and this may be a question for Francesco. Can the design review service successfully support my design?
Yes, yes, this is a very good question. It's very important to know that the design review service is very useful for support the design, for choosing the modules, the best solution, the design itself. It's very, very, very useful, I think. Even if, as I said before, even if you have in your team I have the senior with the experience, I can say that the design review it's very useful for avoid for avoid problems and to reach in time the good time to market the goal of the, to complete the design. It's very, very useful service.
Amanda, I'll add to that just a little bit in the sense that in cellular in particular, one of the biggest cost issues we see with new designs, especially for someone that's never done cellular before, is failing to get through certification. And so having regular design reviews with your supplier is very important because you can avoid a lot of expense down the road as you're going through the testing and certification phase.
Great. Next question we have here, do cellular modules include short range or GNSS in a single module? I saw that Francesco mentioned cellular and Bluetooth.
I can address that. So today, cellular modules do not include short range RF in a single unit, but they are very compatible. So you can have many times in a design, the cellular act as the host and run your application on the cellular to manage the short range side. And so there are solutions that are we call companion modules. But typically, you have a cellular module and either a short range combination module that has Wi-Fi and BLE and GNSS all built in, or you have discrete components. And it really depends on the form factor of your design and the complexities of the RF as to what makes the most sense from a design perspective.
Jeff, sort of further to that, this question, can I have one module that covers the entire globe?
So there are, for certain technologies like Cat-M, there are global SKUs, and that can easily be deployed around the world. But I'll let Scott talk to some of the complexities that go with that, because while the hardware may have a single SKU and capability, there's a lot to address on the interaction with the MNOs.
That's right. And, you know, just like we showed earlier, Cat-M hasn't quite, you know, seen global adoption at this point, still evolving, same with narrowband. So it's important to, you know, have these conversations with your partners as you're making the choices. Because again, while technically it may be possible, the functionality may not be what you're expecting, or the coverage may not be what you're expecting across the entire globe. So, you know, The simple answer is yes. The more complicated answer is it sort of depends on where you want to go and how you want to use it and all that fun stuff. So it's not a black or white question, and there's some underlying questions that have to be addressed before you can make that decision.
Great. Thanks, guys. We are nearing the hour here, so I believe that is all the time that we've got for today. Please be sure to check your inboxes in the coming days for the slides and replay link. Thank you, Jeff, Scott, and Francesco, and thanks to all who joined us.